The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Hello, Sigger fans. Welcome to your Group 1 winning podcast, Moody on the mic. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me are fellow fanboys, the resident Rain Man and Anthony Mithen. Peter Moody, another Group 1. We bow down, we kiss your feet. The most relaxed man in racing. Have you woken up yet?
What does Sigger fans mean? What's that mean?
Ass liquor.
Basically fanboy.
Ass liquor.
Yeah. And after my rant last week, I just thought you needed another quiet week, Petey, just so the sycophants didn't come out of the shell swinging for you. But instead, you just went bang, bang, bang all over Australia, won Group 1s for fun, and looked like you were bored shitless doing it.
Oh, it was great to get the non-winner back in the winner's stall, the poor bugger. He'd been defeated four times in a row. He got tagged a non-winner. And wasn't it good to see I Wish I Win bounce back? Listen, it was a terrific day, boys. So I will pat myself on the back there. Thank you.
Like you said, some called him a non-winner. Couldn't possibly produce Nolan from barrier one. Rainman fucking jumped off. He was gone. He wasn't sick of panic. He didn't think he could win. And sure enough, a little gear change, a little whisper in the ear from the master trainer and Catherine Coleman, I mean, she was on hand at Eagle Farm. And he finally gets the job done.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I rang my partner, Mark Chittick, just before I put the saddle on the horse, and I said, we're in more trouble here than the first explorers from gate one, the way that track was playing again. But listen, Luke Nolan produced a terrific ride. The horse did the rest, and he was able to turn the tables on a very game and gallant Bella Nipotina.
And, of course, more importantly, Rayman went viral for his video of you not celebrating. Rayman, it must have been nice to have your 5 minutes of fame.
It was. Obviously, Moods delivered once again on the big stage, but it showed that even though I wasn't on I Wish I Win on Saturday, I put the content first. I didn't even get to see the finish of the race because I was too busy capturing Moods in the moment. So it just shows that content always comes first in my eyes.
No, what that shows is that you are the number one sycophant in the Peter Moody fan club, that you weren't even watching the race. You decided to get your phone out and video, oh, there's Peter. I wonder what Peter's going to do when his horse wins the race. Let's make sure we get a video and it goes viral. I mean, that is just typical sycophantic, crappy stuff from the Rain Man. I can't believe that you owned up to that video. Like, I thought you might have dropped it in someone else's inbox and said, go your hardest here, I don't mind it. But all he could do was, he threw it in our WhatsApp group the first time. I thought, why is he videoing Peter? Why isn't he watching one of the great Group 1 sprints of the Australian racing turf scene?
He was just thinking, oh, this will get me through tomorrow's shower.
Deary me.
Unbelievable, Rayman. Explain yourself.
The content comes first. We need the content for the socials, promoting the show, promoting Ladbrokes, promoting Mooch, promoting I Wish I Win. I've got to put the content, as the general manager of marketing content at Entain Australia in New Zealand, I've got to put the content first rather than my own.
Can you just run us through that title again? Just make sure you get it all in again.
General Manager of Marketing Content at Entain Australia in New Zealand.
And New Zealand, right. Any other countries you want to mention?
Well, maybe one day, but at the moment, I'm happy to keep it in the Tasman.
You alluded to it already. Nolan, a brilliant ride. We said last week it'll take one of his absolute best, and he made a couple of great speeches, great chats post-race. He said he got on the piss of the local footy. And I'll tell you what, it would have been a good session because they can drink down there at Pearsdale. And I'm not surprised he got over the disappointment, Moods, because I reckon he'd be buggered. He remembered he was disappointed after drinking tins all day at the Dale.
Yeah, no, well, Luke was at his true professional self post-race on I Wish I Win and covered himself in glory with his speeches, as he usually does. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And I've rescued the ship here and, you know, I'm the only one that would have won on him, and I do all the work on him. What total and utter bullshit. I could have won on the horse. and I didn't need to go to the local footy club and get full of piss. And more importantly, if I did, I didn't need to tell every bastard like he did, the brain dead bastard.
No, well, the local punters on course at Eagle Farm and on Twitter were very much siding with L. Nolan. One bloke yelled out during the presentation, which Moods wasn't at, by the way. Moods won the Group One, didn't hang around for the presentation, but that's another little side story. As Nolan went up to collect his trophy, one punter yelled out from the general admission. That's what happens when you put a real jockey on to roars of approval to the crowd. So poor old J-Mac wasn't even at Eagle Farm on Saturday, but he was copping it left, right and centre. It was all about L. Nolan.
I reckon J-Mac got over it pretty quickly about 3:30 Sunday afternoon when Romantic Warrior saluted in the Group 1 in Tokyo. So I'm sure his disappointment was short-lived.
Now, he won't go to the Stradbroke. I wish I win. He's off for a well-earned rest and we'll see him again in the spring. One horse, though, will go to the Stradbroke from your yard after she got the job done at a big price in the Group 3 Fred Best, and that's Roll on High. So, you know, finally she gets the win, and some of us never lost faith.
Yeah, I just want to jump in here. Rog, quick to point out that I wasn't on I Wish I Win last week, but Rog went even harder on Paul on Roll on High. We were having a little chat via text message before the show last week. We decided we were going to do the Fred Best Classic to give Mytho a chance to rattle on about sports, as he likes to do. And Rog said, and this is a direct quote, "Roll on High also running if she's not too busy drinking milk," which is very, very harsh and has aged extremely poorly.
Well, it's fair to say it aged like milk. But she put the saucer away, Moots, and she delivered in the fashion that you have said all along that she's capable of. And I've got to admit, I was starting to wonder whether she had anything in the ticker.
Well, that's very disappointing, Rog. I didn't actually recall you saying that, but I'm great that the great man Rain Man did bring that up. Obviously, there's a small snippet of recording of that somewhere, and you'll probably produce that at some stage during a show when she does win a Group One. But listen, it was great to see my opinion of her somewhat justified. I think that was a bloody good field, that Fred Best. And I think more importantly, she will improve significantly as the ground gets better. Now, whether she's going to get that in a Stradbroke handicap or a Tats Tiara over the next month is probably quite arguable, because having spent a fair bit of the last month in Queensland, I can't recall a day from the tip of Cape York down to the Tweed where it hasn't rained in some way, shape or form to some even minor degree. So whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know, but it was good to see her get back and get the job done. A Group 3 winner for the great stallion, of course, Seamus Award, and upwards and onwards towards the Stradbroke handicap for her next Saturday.
Who rides, mate?
Will Price will ride. Young Will's been doing a bit of riding for the stable. As you know, Anthony's ridden a few of yours lately. He can sit down and have a three-course meal and probably drinks on Friday night and ride the weight comfortably. He's a young lad I've got good faith in, and I'm hoping that he can go and get the job done. But I think more importantly, his best chances and the horse's best chances lie in an improving track. I think she's got to improve a couple of lengths again off that form to probably be winning a Stradbroke handicap, and the chance of that coming is on an improving surface, because that surface, unfortunately, on Saturday was just waterlogged, and I'm not blaming the tracks or the clubs up there. The weather conditions just haven't been helping them at all, and the tracks are just waterlogged, and it would take probably a week of good weather to get them somewhere back to near where they need to be to give anywhere near a 4 or a 5, I'd reckon. They did rate it a 6, but I reckon it was closer to an 8 on Saturday.
From a punter's point of view, Ray, man, it's going to be very hard to assess the form out of this winter carnival so far, I reckon. There's some good horses that are running pretty average races because they're caught in the wrong part of the track. They don't handle the gluey conditions. They put it up a soft 6 on Saturday. I mean, come on. It wasn't a soft 6, or it might have been soft 7, but it was a heavy track without any shadow of a doubt. So it's going to be tricky to assess all this carnival when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I do agree, Mytho. And we do have potentially some drying weather this week. It's been cold in Brisbane, but it hasn't rained all week since Sunday. And it does, the forecast is clear, at least until this Saturday. So hopefully that does give the track an opportunity to dry out a little bit. and hopefully we get similar weather next week ahead of Stradbroke Day.
That wasn't all champagne and chocolates for you on Saturday. Moods, Autumn Angel, she rolled out favourite for the Derby and just, was it a flat one? Did she not handle the conditions? Obviously, Warmonger was in another stratosphere, so she may not have won anyway, but how did you rate how she went and what happens with her now? I'm presuming she's off the paddock and ready for the spring.
Yeah, no, she's certainly off to the paddock, Roger. It was a well below par performance. In I Wish I Win's case, he was able to get out from one alley into the running line in a small field. But in a 20-horse derby or whatever it was, both my runners in that race, namely Sabin and Autumn Angel, just got buried long way back on the fence. So getting hit with clods the size of frying pans and just didn't want to be there and never got into the hunt either horse. So I would totally disregard that Queensland Derby form from my perspective. I am anyhow. I don't have to tell punters to
do it. Well, to be fair, Sabin ran fourth. He ran a bloody good race for a little horse that's punching above his weight.
Yeah, he did. He ran fourth and finished five lengths or so in front of his well-fancy stablemate Autumn Angel. And I can tell you on their true ability and assessment at home, it's probably 10 lengths the other way at this stage. So that tells you where the form sits. Warmonger, congratulations to my good mate Mick Price and Connections. Terrific win there. But I wouldn't be reading a hell of a lot into the form of that race. I think he found the right spot. Trouble-free running after that horse took off mid-race and it just destroyed the race.
Yeah, and obviously don't tell Michael Felgate to disregard the format of that, because I think RSN was just about a tribute show on Saturday, on Monday morning, given that Felgate's got a toenail of Warmonger. And I think it was 2.5 hours on the Queensland Derby and about 3 minutes on everything else. And look, Jackie Felgate's already bought her Melbourne Cup dress on that run. So let's just... Let's just keep it down.
Well, to be fair, he'd had a tough week, I think, Mickey Blue Eyes. So a shout-out to him. When you win a derby after, I think he buried his dad during the week and he got crook and couldn't be there. So, celebrate hard when you win one, and it doesn't matter what circumstances you win them in. If you win a Group 1, you deserve to, you know, get on the source for a bit.
And it was a historic win. From a margin of victory standpoint, it was the biggest winning margin in a Group 1 in Australia since Might and Power won the 1998 Queen Elizabeth Stakes. So from that perspective, it's a historically significant margin. And hopefully Warmonger can go on with the job as a four-year-old more than last year's Ladbrokes Queensland Derby winner, Kovalika, who's still chasing his next race win.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
All right, we've got three races to preview at Eagle Farm on Saturday. The feature is the Queensland Oaks. Before we get to that, we'll go in race book order, races 7, 8 and 9. Race 7 is the Magic Millions National Classic. What's the market telling us, Tom?
La Creek is the clear favourite here. The Kiwi Mare, she's been backed into $2.30 with Ladbrokes. Foxy Frieda on the second line of betting at $7.50. Fall for Cindy, $7.50 as well. You're getting more than $8 for the rest. I think Lark Creek is a very good mare on her day, but I'd say she's not overly consistent. Like, she's got a good record, but I think $2.30 is definitely on the skinny side here. And the horse I quite like, she will need a bit of luck in running at the right time from barrier one, but it's Fall for Cindy with Jamie Carr in the saddle. Two wins on the trot this preparation. Thought she was very good last start in the Dark Jewel at Scone. She won before that at Hawkesbury. Always been a mare I've had a good opinion of and looks to definitely have gone to another level this preparation. So I think at $7.50, I think she's a really nice bet to knock off this favourite.
I agree. La Creek's a horse we haven't seen the best of in these here parts, but I think she's definitely the best horse in the race. She won a Group 1 weight for age over this trip, 1600, two starts back in February, New Zealand. I think, looking at this field, I think she's going to have their measure. Yeah, she might be a little tight in the market, but
She's clearly the best horse. She's 8 ratings point, I think, clear of anything else, and I think she'll be winning on Saturday.
Oh, I don't know. Marikana, maybe. Group one winner from New Zealand. How do you place that form into this? Some knock-around horses. I know Marikana was there at Doomben just to try and look as impressive as possible before she went into the sale ring and got sold last week to Yulong. So and was impressive to win. So I'm sort of sticking with her. Danny O'Brien is in good form at the moment. So, yeah, Marikana each way.
Listen, not for me to correct the great man, but I think he got his knickers in a twist there. I think Fall for Cindy will need all the luck in the world from Barrier 1 off the back of a scone performance, and La Creek from Gate 7 will get the run of the race. And at the set weights conditions of this race, listen, she'd be giving most of this field 4 and 5 kilos if it was a handicap. And under the set weight conditions of the race, I think she's absolutely thrown in. La Creek on top for me, and you know, you're probably looking at the four mares, Marikana and Fall for Cindy for the multiples.
I did say Fall for Cindy will need luck in running from Barrier 1, so exactly what you said, Moods. Thank you for backing me up.
I thought you said La Creek would need the luck in running from Barrier 1.
That's all right.
Doesn't matter.
I'll go to the replay. Oh, you know what I wish? I wish that one day I'm able to just look at a race for the first time while other people are talking and pluck out that sort of analysis. That'll never happen for me, but Peter, that was pretty extraordinary. All right, let's go to the Group 1, the Queensland Oaks. A tough race, Rainman, but a very in-form filly on top.
Yeah, Scarlet Oak on top. Chris Waller dominates this betting market. Scarlet Oak is the favourite at $3.60. Molly Bloom, $5.50. Ahuri, another Waller runner, has been the market mover. It's into $5.50 as well. And then Waller rounds out three of the top four with Mare of Mount Buller, who is $9. I think Scarlet Oak is clearly the horse to beat here for mine. 3 wins from 4 race starts and just looks like she's got a lot of improvement left in her. I think she's been very, very progressive. She's improved each time that she's been seen at the races, and this has always been the target for her. While a few of these other horses have been up for a while, they've had different targets. I think Scarlet Oak is the filly that's time to run the best here, and I'm happy to take the $3.60 currently available with Ladbrokes. The horse I think adds a bit of value you can add to your exotics, Amazonian Lass, $23 to win, $6.50 the place. She had excuses last start when she failed to fly in the roses, but her form outside of that is very good. She beat Molly Bloom fair and square to win the Gold Coast bracelet at the Sunshine Coast. And I think from Barrier 18, she'll roll forward with Adam Hieronymus in the saddle and turn this into a staying test. So Scarlet Oak on top for me and Amazonian Lass to add some value to your exotics.
Seeing it fairly similar, Rayman, I thought the wide draw shouldn't be too much trouble for Scarlet Oak. I think that might be where we want to be again. She proved again she's a filly with a lot of promise, winning that Roses, 2200, no dramas. But there's a few other winning chances. I think Moonlight Magic ran second in the Derby last week on the quick backup. That's it's a tack we've seen. Autumn Angel springs to mind. She ran and then backed up next week in the ACC Oaks and won. I think Moonlight Magic, there was a pretty decent sprinter coming out earlier in the year. So I think she's a good chance at $15. And I do have a bit of a soft spot for the horse that ran second in the Roses, Mare of Mount Buller, given my mare tour route. But look, I think a little each way, $15 on Moonlight Magic, but Scarlet Oak's going to be very hard to beat.
I'm going to give Molly Bloom one more chance. I watched her pretty closely in the run last start and just felt she wasn't quite in the right part of the track. One of those runs where we've got to sort of see through the obvious. And I think she's a pretty classy sort of filly. Out to a trip that'll suit, being by Ace High. It's the race she's probably, well, she would have been set for sure. So Blake Shin in the saddle and riding well, drawn 10. I don't reckon that's going to be a disadvantage. Molly Bloom each way rather than the favourite for me.
I was with Molly Bloom in the Roses and she was second up there. Off a let up off and off that pleasing run in the bracelet. So I also, you know, thinking that she might be able to turn the tables on the favourite Scarlet Oak. But great respect for this filly. She's done a tremendous job and we've seen Chris Waller do this year in, year out, produce these three-year-old fillies up in Queensland. He's owned this race for the best part of a decade and a half now. And listen, I think it's between the two, But I just thought Molly Bloom might have had slightly more upside, and Scarlet Oak still in her first preparation, whether she might plateau. But I think Scarlet Oak's the one I'd certainly want to take home out of the race. What price, my filly, Rain Man Molly Nickers? You failed to give her a mention there. She must be 100 to 1, is she?
$46 to win, $11 to place.
Well, if you go back through this filly's form, I think she's ready to run a hell of a race, even though I don't believe her to be a genuine stayer. I think she's going to be a terrific 7-furlong mile mare. The last time she drew a barrier to advantage, she got beat a head-to-head by Autumn Angel and Basilina in the CUNY Stakes 4 or 5 runs back. She's drawn 5 of 7, 11 of 12, 13 of 14, and 17 of 18 or something like that in the last 4 runs, and has just had to go back to absolute impossible positions. I think from gate 8, if she steps away nicely and holds a midfield position, I think at $46, do yourself a favour and include Molly Nickers as an each-way hope in this race. I think she'll give you a hell of a sight.
Just a quick one. Why did you run... Why did Autumn Angel run last week ahead of In the Oaks?
I aimed her at the Derby for the fact that I felt she'd be better suited at the 2400 of the Derby than she would at the 2200. And I think we saw that when she came back to the Roses. You know, she found that 2000 slightly, to the Rough Habit, she found the 2000 slightly short. And everything was sort of geared to peaking last week. And I think I'm probably going to watch this race on Saturday and kick myself that I actually did what I did. I don't think it was racing against the boys that brought about her demise. I think it was probably track conditions. And if we get a better track there on Saturday or better conditions, I'll probably be kicking myself. But we can't spilt milk. And she still goes to the paddock as an ATC Oaks winner.
Yeah, but also it's weather. I mean, it's not as if it.
Yeah.
If you don't do it there.
No,
Oaks,
there's not.
No, I'm not saying to you. You can't. I mean,
wasn't potting.
Moods can't. No, but I'm saying Moods can't get shitty on himself. Like if you aimed her at the Oaks instead of the Derby, then fair chance it pisses down this weekend instead of last. Like it's not like you've got to control the controllables.
Oh, listen, I might have gone a run too far as well, to be quite honest. You know, were we a touch greedy in chasing this race? She'd thrived and done everything after. Maybe there's a touch of that as well. But at the end of the day, she got beat 15 lengths in the Derby. And she probably would have lined up a $3 chance in the Oaks beside Scarlet Oak this week had we elected to miss the Derby.
It's that filthy, greedy bastard owner, Wiley Dalziel. Yeah, just, you know, it's all about the dollars with Dalziel, isn't it?
And actually, Wiley needs the dollars because the poor bastard at 5:45 a.m. this morning, some low pieces of shit broke into his house, stole his car keys and took off with his and his wife's car. So... May they get a bad case of gonorrhea and gout, and Wiley gets a chance to run over their foot going down the street one day soon.
Well, I hope they're not catching the gonorrhea off the car seat. Let's move on to the Moreton Cup, which is the final race on the program on Saturday at Eagle Farm. Rainman, give us the market, then give us your thoughts.
Yeah, tricky way to finish the day for a punters. Valana is the favourite, $4.40. Marzu, back to Group 2 company, $4.80. Opal Ridge, who raced really well in Queensland last Stradbroke season, $5. And the early market mover is Insurrection into $8. I did find this a tricky race, and he's never really been one of mine, Marzu, but he does get back to a winnable race here for him. I think if we know now, he's not quite up there with the true top-line sprinters in the country, but he's still good on his day. He certainly wasn't disgraced last start behind Bella Nipotina and I Wish I Win in the Doomben 10,000, only beaten 3 lengths there. And the start before that, albeit on a heavy track where he does produce his best, in a race similar to this, he did win the Hallmark. So I think on his best, he is the best horse in the race. I'd prefer if we did know the track was going to be a little bit wetter for his chances, but I think he's a better horse than Valana, and I think he's a better chance than Opal Ridge. And you're getting $4.80. So happy to be with Marzu in the Moreton Cup.
I'm buggered if I know. But I've never thrown a pineapple. And I'm not going to start now. I'm not giving up on what you need yet. I think he's got a big race in him. Maybe it's in the spring. But like I think this presents as good a chance as any if he can find his best. And it's a big if. But... He's around the $15 mark, so a big if. I'm happy to play small and just have a little bit on what you need.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit of value here. I can see Tony Golan and Mark Zara winning the last with all that pizzazz. Drawn well, should get the run of the race. Seems to be a horse that builds into a prep. I see third up. It's had three starts for two wins. So third up there on Saturday. Nice barrier, nice jockey. I like the odds. $10, $3.20 place. It'll be getting $10 each way for me. Pay for the pizza.
The one down the bottom here, the Joe Pride Galloper. How the bloody hell do we pronounce this? Levate, Lecavati, or what? Who named that bar?
When have you ever worried about pronunciation before, Peter? Just go with whatever you say.
Lecavati, whatever, who cares? What price, Rayman, Lecavati?
$34 to win, $7.50 the place.
Well, I've got no doubt this mare's probably having a warm-up for the Tats Tiara in 3 weeks' time on her form, because she's better suited 1,400 or a mile. But if they're running on there on Saturday from the draw, Michael D, big race jockey in the saddle, getting ready for the Tats Tiara, no doubt 3 weeks down the road. Fresh record's good. So just keep an eye. If they're making ground, I would be having something on her at 33-1. And we know Joe Pride doesn't travel them for fun. And I think she'll give you a good side each way in the last. 33s, there you go.
Let go of Farty.
Let go of Farty.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, Yard Comment and Black Book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Big breaking news ahead of the best bets. We've got some news on giveaways. It's not the merch. It's not the merch we've been waiting for, Rayman.
Oh.
You got something else for us?
The merch is coming. The merch is coming. It unfortunately, four times it's left China on the container, and you wouldn't believe it, the Moody on the Mic merchandise has been washed into the ocean. It is the scourge of all solo sailors around the world. The Moody on the merch, bobbing around in the ocean. Four times it's left China, bobbing around the ocean, and every Atlantic crossing has had to dodge the Moody on the Mic. There was a bloke arrived on the west coast of Mexico the other day with 18 Moody on the Mic t-shirts on it.
Yeah.
Opened one of the containers about 1,000 miles north of Hawaii.
And there's unconfirmed reports of pirates all over Senegal wearing the Moody on the Mic. It's got your image on it, Pete. You're a hero to the pirates of West Africa. It's unreal.
They've got me as a godlike figure, Mytho, in Senegal. I reckon if they ever run into our one listener in Kenya, they're just going to go to town.
They'll love him. They'll make him the king of Kenya.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. So anyhow, sorry, Rain Man, we didn't mean to interrupt there, but one of those crates might wash up in the north coast of Australia one day, and the people in Broome will be able to share them with the rest of Australia.
Yeah, fingers crossed we can get those global supply issues sorted before the start of the spring carnival. That has been tough, but we do have another giveaway, and we don't have to rely on global supply issues. It's the South Belgrade Football Club. Are having their annual sportsman's lunch.
The mighty Saints from South Belgrade.
The mighty Saints from South Belgrade. It's Friday, the 26th of July, and it's basically going to be the Moody on the Mic show. Rog is emceeing. Moods is going to be there as the Patreon of the club. Ladbrokes are sponsoring, and Mytho and Rosemont Stud have purchased a table after some arm twisting from the great man Moods himself. And we do have four seats to give away, so we're going to be giving those away. We'll be giving away two double passes, two sets of two seats to the Ladbrokes table on our Stradbroke Handicap edition of Moody on the Mic. So listening next week to win your chance to spend some time with the Moody on the Mic team and a host of other high-profile sports people. It's a who's who there. That are going to be speaking at this event. Roger's got a tough job on his hands. So will be a really good event, and we'll be giving away 2x2 next week.
Well, and also, this isn't just your South Belgrade Footy Club sitting at the club rooms with a 4X W. This is at Crown Palladium.
It is.
This is a big deal, this footy club function. And just a peek behind the curtain, this is how negotiations went.
Moods rang me at 7 o'clock one morning and said, July 26, you're emceeing the South Park Road footy function. And then later that afternoon, he got on the podcast and he said, hey, Mitho, Rosemont's bought a table at the South Park Road footy function. Hey, Rainman, Ladbrokes bought a table at the South Park Road footy function. And that's how negotiations work here on Moody on the Mic. We don't get asked. We get told by the captain. Rainman.
Because he's got the Senegalian Pirates on his side. We are stuck here. We are stuck. See how we joined all the dots there, people?
I reckon we can probably add a little bit to that as well. We'll look into it and see where we're racing the next day. So if people are going to travel to this event, we can probably tie in a race meeting the next day here in Melbourne as well. I'm not sure where they're racing on the Saturday. And we might even throw in another double pass from my table. So you can join my table as well. So that'll be 6 tickets we'll probably give away over the next few week punters. And looking forward to getting some of our loyal listeners along and meeting some fine gentlemen from South Belgrave, as well as a host of talent on stage. We've got some wonderful football talent, some wonderful racing talent in the room, and it'll be a terrific day. So get along and enjoy it. It is actually a sold-out event, so it won't be a matter of getting along and enjoying it. If you want to join us, you're going to have to win one of these 6 tickets.
Bletchingley Stakes Day, the next day, Moods at Caulfield. So you'll organise a few tickets.
The possible return to racing of one of our boom sprinters, Giga Kick, I believe, could be even up for a run on that day. So I'm sure we can arrange something with the Melbourne Racing Club in hosting our 6 finalists with tickets to the Caulfield races on the very next day as well.
I love making promises that we might not be able to deliver on. No, we will. We'll absolutely get members tickets for Caulfield. Don't worry about that. But Rayman's the one who makes promises and doesn't deliver. So give us your best bet, and hopefully you deliver there, Rainman.
Fingers crossed we can deliver on this one. I'm going to Eagle Farm, race number 4, number 7, Golden Boom, in the Ladbrokes Lightning Handicap. Golden Boom was outstanding first up in the Chief De Beers at Doomben. I think he can only improve on that effort, and the short course sprints are definitely his goal. He's got a really good record at 1,000 metres, 2 wins and a second placing from 4 starts. Bit of giving the track still is no issues for him at all. So Golden Boom, he's $3.20 with Ladbrokes at the moment. I think that's well and truly over the odds. I've got him marker, a clear favourite. So Eagle Farm, race 4, number 7, Golden Boom.
Like that one, actually, Tom. I'm going to go to Flemington, race 9, number 17. I tipped Lose Some, Win More once in this spot, and he finished second. That's the only defeat of his preparation. He returned a winner at Flemington last start. They're putting him up to the test again. Down from a 70 to an 84, but he just looks such a nice progressive type, and he'll relish that Flemington straight yet again. I wouldn't want him much shorter than his current price of about $4, just given that jumping class, but I do think he'll be winning, and if he can get the $4, then have a crack. Flemington, race 9, number 17, Lose Some, Win More in those price bloodstock red, white, and blue Bulldogs colours.
Righto, the Rosemont Red. We've got a quiet weekend coming up, but we have found one little runner, thanks to Rain Man filling me in. I said, I don't think I've got a runner. He said, you got Malone in race 2, and I think he'll win up there at Eagle Farm. James McDonald booked a ride. It's a good setup from the wide barrier for this horse. We've worked him out. I had a good chat to Tony Golan about him yesterday, and he said he's just a one-run horse. He's got to get back, work his way into the race and ask him to go. He's got a short, sharp sprint that's pretty explosive when used to perfection. I reckon J-Mac will get that job done. And at 4:40, you can load up on Pants Mullane, race 2, Eagle Farm on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I had a chat to the connections of Mullane once about 18 months ago and suggested gelding the bastard to get the best out of him, but it just took a while for that to happen. And now that's happened in the new stable, I wish them all the luck going forward.
Oh, look, he was very well pre-trained. There's no doubt about that. The pre-trainer did a great job with him.
I hope he goes and gets the job done for connections. Pretty quiet weekend for the boutique stable this weekend, team. We've touched on Molly Nickers in the Queensland Oaks. I think at 40-1 each way all day, I think she'll give you a hell of a sight from a much better draw this afternoon. We'll head down to Flemington. I think I've got a pretty nice 2-year-old in the first at Flemington. Race 1, number 3, Super Nima. What odds there, Rain Man?
$10 the win, $3 the place.
Oh, crikey. Well, maybe there's some superstars in there amongst the unraced that I don't know. What's the favourite in that?
Pisces for Godolphin's a $3.50 favourite.
Oh, well, unless I'm missing something here, he's significant over Super Nima. in race one. I suppose the big question mark, as it always is with these young horses, is the Flemington Straight. But he's a lovely horse. He won well first up, covered ground, worked into the race and was too strong for them, although very green at Pakenham. And I think he's ready to step up to Saturday company pretty quickly. Super Nima, race one, number three. One we elected not to go to Queensland with is our three-year-old filly Tuckamore. She takes on the boys a bit later in the day here at Flemington in race six. Race five, number seven, Tuckamore. It was my intention to run her in the Queensland Oaks tomorrow, but after having a look at that track last week, we decided against travelling her up there and we've kept her at home. I think I was disappointed with the ride on her at a last start where she tasted defeat. I think she can bounce back and run very well here at Flemington. With a bit more patient ride from Linda Meach here on Saturday, I think she'll give you a hell of a sight. What odds, Tuckamore, Rain Man?
$23 to win, $6 to play. Seems well and truly over the odds for mine.
Well, yep, no, I'm with you there. Red Sun Sensation in the next race. He's absolutely flying and ready to run well, this horse, off two prep runs, but unfortunately he's come up with a very awkward draw in 14, so he's going to need a lot of luck there. And Scorsese in race seven has drawn the dreaded gate one down the Flemington Straight, so there's a chance he might even wait and go to Monday. But my best for the weekend, we're going to get the money early, I reckon, punters, at Flemington, race one, horse number three, Super Nima, and at the odds, have something on Molly Knickers each way in the Queensland Oaks, and Tuckamore, race five at Flemington, horse seven, each way all day at the 23s. Good luck, good punting, let fast horses run fast, and make sure you touch base with us over the next couple of weeks as we've got a half a dozen tickets to that South Belgrave luncheon.
Ladbrokes.